Kiddos, come on and join me.
I want to share this this card with you from Kathy and Dane and Cameron. Dear Sycamore Church family, thank you for all the prayers, calls, texts over the past several weeks. I may not have been able to answer or acknowledge many of them, but they were each read, some even to my dad, and very much needed. It was amazing to me the timing of some of those simple texts that said, praying or love you. God knew what I needed at that moment. It's been a very rough few weeks. I'm still a little shell-shocked by all of it. My dad and I had a very close relationship. We had so many things we shared, from our love of cars to working with our hands, and he'll be missed. As I process all that has occurred over the last several weeks, please continue to pray for me. It's still very hard for me to share with you right now all the awesome things I saw happen during my dad's illness. But one day, when time is right, God will give me strength to share with all of you. Thank you again for being the hands and feet of Jesus. Love, Kathy, Dane, and Cameron. And kiddos, I read that today. Are you ever sad, where you feel like your heart hurts about something? You ever get sad about things? You ever had somebody in your life that you were close to that died? A grandparent, a great-grandparent, a friend, someone in your family? A pet? Yeah, that. Or do you ever get your feelings hurt about things? Any of you?
Sometimes.
Somebody at school or somebody in your family hurts your feelings?
My brother Josh.
Well, I want you to know, when you feel that way, do you know that Jesus feels what you feel? He feels everything. He knows what's going on in your mind and in your heart. And even though you think sometimes, well, maybe I can't tell all of that to somebody else, well, Jesus already knows. I wanted to read these two verses to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to these closely. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercy, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so we'll be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort that we ourselves have been comforted by God." And what he's saying by that is, God comforts us when our heart is sad, and then he expects us to be part of his comfort to other people. As we say an encouraging word. Have you ever done that for a friend or family member? Maybe your mom or dad or brother or sister, you knew they were sad and you just went up and gave them a hug? Or you said, told them, oh, it's going to be all right. You done that before? Yes, sir. That's a good thing to do that. When we do that, we're literally being the hands and the feet of Jesus. Because He uses us. I want you to know today, there's nothing that you can't talk to God about. And He listens to your prayers. So let's pray to Him right now. Dear Lord, thank you for these children. I thank you, Lord, for how you speak to them. And today, Lord, I pray that they'll feel your presence and your power. In Jesus' name. Today I want us to talk about our heart. And I kind of changed this around this week as I do a lot of times. This week has been, you know, in fact, this weekend will be sandwiched for me by two funerals. The 16th of August, 21-year-old son of dear friends of ours. I grew up with his mom and known his grandparents all my life. He committed suicide. Living out in Montana, and they had moved, had come back with the body to Savannah for the funeral, and we did that funeral yesterday. And then while we were at the funeral home on Friday afternoon for the visitation, another very dear friend of mine up in Middle Georgia, he had had a massive heart attack the night before, and he died that afternoon while we were at the funeral home. And his funeral will be Tuesday. And I got thinking about the realities of life and just my own heart, how I felt about that. Now, I don't come to you today as one without hope, because I have the ultimate hope in Jesus. But I'd be lying to you today if I told you that that my heart wasn't hurting, and it's real. And many of you are going through some real things right now in your life, and we call them heart matters. And today, title of this message is Heart Matters, with a subtitle, Being Wholehearted. How did you get to where you are right now in your life? How did the things that are going on in your heart get to the place where they are? Can you track that? Can you track the history of it? Now today, I'm going to pray for us in just a moment. And what I'm going to pray is that we can listen with our heart today, because I really do believe the Lord wants to speak to you about your heart today. Let's pray. Lord, as we stop for a moment, we pause and we ask you, come. Come and speak today. Come speak to us. Speak to me, Lord. For truly, we are in need of you right now. Let us hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we go through this, I've underlined and highlighted some key words that might help you remember some of this. So, we've discovered over the last several weeks that there's a war going on, haven't we? A war in our lives. In fact, if I look back and I see anything that was missing in my discipleship coming up as a believer, and I had some great Bible teachers and great people who taught me the Word of God, and I thank God for them. But there was one area that we were missing in that instruction, and it's missing largely in the church, and it's in this area of realizing that we're fighting a battle. That there is warfare going on. We talked about this several weeks ago. In fact, in Ephesians 6:12, it says, we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. I read this to you several weeks ago. We realized that there is a war going on, and it's a war of the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we've been targeted. You know, the day that you receive Jesus into your life, that day, the evil one painted a target on you, on your family, and on everything about you. Because and you say, well, how about all the other people that don't know the Lord? Well, you know, they experience his what's going on with him. But he'd rather turn you and turn you off, because that's a greater victory for him. Let me ask you a question. Have you waked up to the war? Have you waked up to the fact that there's a battle going on? Have you waked up to the fact that there's a battle going on in our culture right now? I mean, it's all around us. We see it, we look. Secondly, nothing more important these days than to hear the voice of God. Had someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, I said, Pastor, it was not someone in our church, it was somewhere else, I said, well, what do you think is the most important thing that a Christian needs to be able to do today in today's culture? That's to hear God speak. So, we need to begin to hear God speak to our heart. Now, hear what John 8:47 says. He who belongs to God hears what God says. Now get this. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Whoa. He's saying, hearing the voice of God, that goes with the territory. We say we know the Lord, then we know His voice. And what, maybe we need to be listening closer to what He has to say. Will God speak to your heart? Yes. You see, a walk with God, a relationship with God, is not all the trappings of some head game. It's about hearing God's voice. It's about walking with Him. When I was a little guy, we'd be out somewhere. We'd be in Kmart. We'd be at the ballpark. We'd be in any of these places. And there was a distinctive whistle that I could hear above everything else. In fact, when we're growing up on 59th Street, well, I could be two blocks away from our house. And I'd hear this whistle, and I knew what that whistle meant. It was my daddy. It was time to stop what I was doing and come home. Because let me tell you, if I didn't stop what I was doing and come home, there were consequences. It's just like hearing God's voice. He's speaking, but we're listening. We're listening. Over the last several weeks, we have also learned, we've realized that some of us are very deeply wounded in our hearts. There are wounds that are there, that are deep within us. Jeremiah 6:14 says this, "They tried to heal my people's serious injuries as if they were small wounds. They said, it's all right, it's all right. But really, it's not all right." Pretty loose translation of that from New Century Version. But very true. It's not all right. You don't just cover it over, do you? If there's a wound there, are you wounded? What is the source of that anger that seems to come up in your life at times. That indiscriminate anger, the behaviors or the retreating to some substance. Alcohol, drugs. Where'd it come from? What's at the root of it? Maybe the Lord would like to uncover those deep-seated wounds in your heart. See, there's no way any of us can escape the results of a fallen world. To look down our pious noses at others and say, well, my life isn't like theirs, is to ignore what's going on in our own lives. We can't dodge the obvious. Words, actions. Non-actions, non-words, relationships with people, family. What's God speaking to you right now? Now, you can't tell me you can sit there and hear these scriptures and God not speak. Go right to the heart. Now, number four. When you come to Jesus, one of the things that you come in agreement with Him is that you're going to have open heart surgery. He's going to come in and He's going to make all things new if we let Him. Here's Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. What wounds do you have right now that need bandaging? Jesus is all about healing and restoration. When He comes, that's what He does. He brings healing and restoration. But He waits on a sincere invitation from us. Come, Lord. Will you allow Him access to that which is deep within you? Number five, we have to begin to fight the devil for our heart. Go to war. Are you going to just give up and say, oh, it's an unstoppable tide that is just sweeping over me and there's nothing that can happen? Or are you going to let the God of all the universe, the one who spun it all into existence, come and fight for you? It's time to take off the gloves. And we're talking about a street fight here. We're talking about your heart. We're talking about that which motivates you deep within you. Are you ready to cancel those old agreements that you made with the devil when you came in agreement with lies in your life? Now, He wants to make you whole. That's what this phrase, whole, hearted means. He wants to restore your joy. Restore who you really are. Who He made you to be. Now, let me give you just a few things. Just a few things. Here's the way. First of all, you need to just cancel formula Christianity out of your life. Hear what 2 Timothy 3:5 says. And will act as if they serve God, but will not have His power. Stay away from these people. People acting as if they have the power of God, but His power actually being absent. The Bible says stay away from people like that. Formulas. Our culture deals in formulas, don't we? Bam, 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 boom, this is what you get. Every self-help book out there, that's what it's about. The chapters are just points in the formula that you add together, and at the end, an equal mark, here's the conclusion. It's a lot messier than that, isn't it? Last time you tried to use the formula in your life that someone else used, how'd that work for you? Secondly, we got to consecrate our lives to Christ. Romans 12:1 says this, "So brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to Him, which is a spiritual way for you to worship." We're talking about you giving up your will to Him. No one can do this for you. God has no grandchildren. You've got to give, consecrate. That's what the word means. To give yourself over completely. That means you let go of everything and you put it in God's hands. And listen to what He has to say. Number three, allow your life to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Revelation 12:11 says this, "And our brothers and sisters defeated Him by the blood of the Lamb's death and by the message that they preached. They did not love their lives so much that they were afraid of death." You see, it's totally turning things over to the Lord and letting God cleanse you. Cleanse you deep within. That means back to this illustration of open heart surgery. Allowing God to just come there. But so many times we've cut Him off because opening up, it's painful, isn't it? It's painful. Several years ago, I'd cut myself, my hand, and I really didn't put any medication or anything on it, but I just put a Band-Aid over it. Because I didn't want to keep knocking on what I was doing, the physical work that I was doing. And so it became very sore. And over time, over the next several days, I thought, man, that thing's getting really sore. And so as soon as I took the bandage off and the seal was broken, guess what? Man, it got really sore then. And I realized that the wound needed to be cleaned out because there was dirt in there and other things. I found out that I had a splinter in there that I didn't even know I had in my hand. It was painful, let me tell you. It was painful cleaning it out, and it's painful to dig that splinter out of there. And then for the medication to be applied. Oh. You see, it's painful when a wound like that is opened up again so it can be healed. But it has to happen for healing to take place. Number four. If all of this is going to happen, we've got to cover ourselves in the authority of Jesus. Listen to this part of the story from Matthew 8. "Then the officer said, 'Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know because I am under authority by my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, come and they come. If I say to my slaves, do this or do this, they do it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And turned to the crowd, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go on home, what you have believed has happened, and your young servant has been healed the same hour. You see, this officer understood the authority of Jesus. And he realized that Jesus had authority as he gave him that authority in his life. And he worked and he moved. Are you under the authority of Jesus? It extends wherever you, if you've given him your life, no matter where you are, you're under his cover, his authority in that relationship. The authority of his body, of being connected with his body. But see, so many times, what do we want to do? We want to drag Jesus out like a set of jumper cables when we break down. Instead of letting him be the energizer who changes us and gives us a brand new battery. We must dwell under his authority, under his power. That leads us to number five. We need to connect with his body. Listen to me. There's no way under God's green earth. No way. I've been at this, I'm 61 years old, been at this all my adult life. I've watched thousands of people. There's no way that we can have a sometimey relationship to the bride of Christ and think that we're going to be serving Jesus. It just don't happen. That's like me coming home and saying, well, you know, Audrey, this weekend's been pretty good. I'll see you in about a month and a half. How would that work out? Does that work out in a marriage? But what does Jesus see our relationship with him, the body with him, is this marriage? It's this ongoing relationship with one another. Again, not going back to bring out a set of jumper cables when you get in a jam. But to know one another, to spend time with one another. Psalm 111 verse 1 says this, praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with His godly people. I said it last week. Scripture says, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. To be connected with his body, it's a must today. And with all the junk that's going on out there in society that's trying to drag you down, this is the body of Christ. Both here publicly in this meeting, in our life groups, to be connected with God's people. So that as things do happen, you have people that you're connected to, that you can depend on, that you can call, that become the physical body of Jesus in your life. Man. I'm going to throw Brother John under the bus right now. Let's go ahead and tell you, John. We were out visiting someone the other day. And I said, John, do you remember this place where we're standing, this ground? You know where I'm headed, right, John? This will be throwing you under the bus, right? And you want me to tell the story, don't you? All right, yes, sir. Okay. Have John's permission. So, not that I've manipulated any of that. So, I said, John, do you remember this ground we're walking on right now? He said, no. Well, what are you talking about? I said, do you remember my 1984 Nissan truck? Yeah. Some of y'all remember that truck? That truck. And John made fun of that truck all the time. He said, that old truck, he said, it can't do anything. He said, look at that truck. Just look at it. It's a little tiny truck. Can't hardly put anything in it. And I mean, over and over again, he was busting on me about that truck. My cell phone rang one day. Hey, Dust, what you doing? I said, well, I'm headed out to Georgetown. He said, well, good. He said, think you could come by and help me out? I said, what? With what, John? He said, I'm bogged down. He had a little Honda at that time. He said, bogged down, John? You bogged? He said, yeah, I was out here looking at a piece of land, and I got bogged down, and I need somebody to pull me out. I said, oh. I said, oh, let me get this straight now. You want me to bring that broke down, small, inadequate little blue Nissan truck out there and pull you out of the bog? He said, yes. And, oh, yeah, thank you. And just being the man of God that I am, after we got out there, I made sure we went through that whole story again as we were hooking it up. We need each other. I can't tell you how many times I've called that man to come and get me out of something, help me with something. Man, he helped me add on to my house. He almost fell off my roof one day. I caught him as he was tipping to go over. And I caught him. And he'd work all night, you know, from wee hours in the morning. And he'd come over there and help me work on my house. Do you need people like that in your life? We sure do, don't we? That's what being connected with his body is all about. And finally, we need to commune with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is our Daddy God. He is the one, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son who came to this earth, chosen from the foundation of the world and died in our place, was buried, resurrected 3 days later, and is coming again real soon. He is the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus, who brings us power in our lives. And he gives us the power to fight the battle that I'm talking about. We are vessels of this triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Will you bow your heads with me, please? We now consider, what's the Lord saying to you? What has he said to you about this message? We open the altar right now.
Sure. I mean, what goes wrong?
All right, Willette wants to share something with us right now.
Tuesday night I had a dream, and I was in heaven. And Jesus was showing me around, and there was all kinds of people there that I knew. And he'd take me over here, and he'd take me over there. And I'd say, wow, in the dream, wow, Jesus. But then he centered in on one. And it was Dr. Rod from Jerusalem. And I woke up. And then Jesus started ministering to me. He said, do you remember when you used to pray and ask me, if people that don't know me, can they still feel the Holy Spirit in us? Say, yes, Jesus. And do you remember me always saying, don't let it be in your heart, in your head, Willette. Let it be in your heart. Because if it comes from your heart, Willette, it'll do what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
So I was volunteering at that time in Jerusalem. And I was working with the babies just as the midwife brought them out. I was bathing them. And Dr. Rod is over all the baby doctors there. And he showed up every morning to go through those babies, make sure every baby was all right. And he came up to me and he said, they can't say Willette because it's not in Hebrew. He said, Valette, what brought you to Jerusalem? And I said, well, the Lord told me to come and be a servant to his ancient people. And he started crying, standing right there. And all them mothers, and I was kind of, I didn't know exactly what to do. And all the mothers peeping at the babies and the nurses out there. And he said, Violette, if you never did one thing in this hospital, your presence would be worth your being here.
Amen.
And he said, you know, the only thing that you can take to glory is people. He said, don't fail to witness to every person that you give a chance.
Amen. Whew. Regina spoke a word in prayer this morning to me that relates. It's another H word. It's the word harvest. And there is a harvest of people waiting on us as we show our heart, that heart. And that's a great statement. The only thing we can take to glory is other people. And they're waiting on us. Let's pray. Lord, now as we open the altar, Lord, let us respond to you that you've put on our heart, Lord, to pray for today. Some of us, Lord, are sitting here and we're brokenhearted. Lord, I pray your healing today. I pray your help. I pray your hope. Come, Lord. You're enough. Come speak and move today. The altar's open. Spoken anything to you today? Has he touched your heart? Has he touched your heart? He's moving. He's doing some work. The last several weeks, he has been doing some things in us. He is stirring the pot right now. He is stirring us. Let's cooperate with him. Now, what about the people in your life? Willette gave us a challenge a moment ago. What about the people in your life? Who needs to hear what and experience what you heard and experienced today that's in your life? Where are they? Where are they? You are the link to them. Let's get busy. I send you out in His name, in His power, and with the joy of Jesus on your life. God bless you. I love you.
Always pain before a child is born.